Welcome to the Rise and Shot podcast. I am your host, Adam Mangum. In episode 136, Matt and I yap about the hoops team. We're now second place in the WCC. Can we maintain that? And what are our chances at a deep tournament run? We also talk about the fact that Tyler Hawes might be pretty good at basketball. And we also do a draft of the current basketball roster, and Matt's team is better than my team. We then go on to football and talk about signing day, some of the players that might make immediate impacts, some of the players that we like in the long term. We look back at wide receiver depth, which we talked about a few weeks ago in light of the signings. And we also talk about running backs and offensive line in our ongoing off-season preview. This is the Rise and Shout podcast. You can catch us on iTunes, at LoyalCougars.com, and of course, you're going to listen to 40-some-odd minutes of a great podcast right now. Matt, it's that special time.
Special time in everyone's week.
In everyone's week, where we record the Rise and Shout podcast.
Rise and shout, baby.
Rise and shout! All right, that hopefully doesn't hurt anyone's ears. Matt, it's also that special time where we get together and watch sports that we don't watch at all for 4 years.
That's right. I actually... Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go first.
I feel like that moment right there, have you seen that YouTube video about conference calls?
Yes.
Yeah, that's, we just had ourselves a moment right there.
What's that?
Anyway.
Yeah. It's that one is pretty awesome. Oh, Ben, have you been on this whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. One last thing. Everybody's gone.
One last thing.
So yeah, I sat down the other day and had to explain to my son what skeleton was. And I realized at the end of my explanation that the only difference between that and the luge is that they're going head first. Is that true? Is that really the only difference? It was the only one I could come up with.
I'm more of a curling guy.
Yeah, I can't even get into curling.
I have curled.
I'm going to leave that one alone. It sounds like a personal problem. So... I watched a lot. I'm not going to shy away. I watched some figure skating this weekend.
Oh, bet you better believe it.
Watched a lot of snowboarding. Watched some downhill tonight.
Ooh,
some of that alpine.
Awesome. I love the downhill.
That stuff is awesome.
Bodie Miller, not so great.
Sorry. No, did not have his best performance, unfortunately.
Sorry, Bodie. We still love you, man.
No, the guy's still a legend, right? I mean, he's still awesome. But the Olympics are awesome. So, and it's just enough a dose of some of these sports like that I can totally get into it for a couple weeks, and then I'm good for like about 4 years.
Now, you served your mission in Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
and you probably have a better picture of Russia than most folks.
I've actually visited Russia. I've not been to Sochi, but I've been to Russia.
That's right. So are you surprised at all by some of the reports of the terrible hotels and strange happenstance around these Olympics?
Not even a little. I think some of it's getting blown out of proportion.
I'm sure
it
is.
But the guy from the U.S. bobsled team that had to literally bust through his bathroom door to get to his Good Morning America interview, I don't know if you saw that one.
I did see that one.
So, I mean that does strike me as a little bit strange. Getting the stuff prepared at the last minute doesn't really surprise me. But really, you've traveled internationally, right? I mean, there's going to be some of that weirdness no matter where you go. And so even some things that I think would have been looked over, aren't going to be looked over because reporters showed up to hotels where the lobby wasn't finished and there were construction crews sleeping in their hotel rooms and stuff.
Yes. Yes. Well, and reporters like to whine about things like that.
So. Right. And so once you got that ball rolling, I mean, it was lights out. I mean, everything was going to come out. Everything was going to be terrible and all this. Am I surprised that it wasn't all done in time? No, I mean, they had a pretty short period of time where they were really, really trying to get that work done. And it's a lot of work.
To your point about it wouldn't matter where it is. And a lot of places in the world, this would be an issue. I just spent a week in Brazil. I was in two cities that will be hosting World Cup games in June. And one of them, it looked like they had just started on the stadium yesterday. And in this same city, the airport is being rebuilt and all they have up are steel girders.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it has to be ready by June. And quite frankly, the infrastructure of, and they're having the Olympics, right? In a couple of years, the Summer Games.
Yeah, I think so.
They don't have the infrastructure. It's going to be, the reporters are going to have very similar things to say, and they might get yellow fever. So I mean, to your point, both of us have traveled quite a bit internationally, and most countries would be in a similar spot to Russia.
This just got exacerbated by the fact that a bunch of the, you know, real visible work clearly hadn't been done.
Yes.
You know, manholes left uncovered would have probably been true whether or not their lobby or hotel was finished. There would have been things like uncovered manholes. Like you're just going to see that.
Yes. Well, I blame Ivan Drago.
Doesn't it always boil down to Ivan Drago? But you know, seriously though, it's still the Olympics, and the Olympics are still awesome.
Oh, they're still, it doesn't matter. Sochi, Russia, Vancouver, Salt Lake City, it doesn't matter. They're still awesome. And if I can change, Matt, and you can change.
Oh, jeez.
We all can change.
And the opening ceremonies were pretty cool, even though that one snowflake didn't open. I mean, that's a technical glitch, right?
Yes.
But I thought the scale was pretty impressive, and it was fun to watch.
Yeah, and then exhibiting the culture and all that.
Yeah, kind of stuff. Bunch of the history and all that. I thought that was really neat.
Yeah, it was really neat. I fell asleep. But it was really neat.
It's a lot of history. It was pretty dense with history.
It was pretty dense with history, and you like history. So speaking of history, Matt, BYU made history this week.
Oh, boy.
Bad segue. We're second place in the West Coast Conference, Matt.
Yeah, who saw that coming, by the way?
I did not. A few weeks ago, you and I were pretty darn pessimistic. And since the time where we really were pessimistic, BYU has beat St. Mary's, which you predicted, and I did not. Shame on me.
I'm just smart.
You are smart, I guess. Then, of course, they've run up a couple other wins, including Saturday night against San Francisco, where it was a defensive slugfest where, quite frankly, besides rebounding, BYU looked terrible. But luckily, their rebounding was phenomenally good.
Yeah.
So they now sit in the driver's seat for second place in the conference, which means a bye and, you know, better seating and whatever else.
So that's huge in the conference tourney for this team.
Oh, absolutely. If they can beat St. Mary's a second time, which I think is very possible, then they should probably roll into that. And obviously, Gonzaga's the first place team. There's no getting around that. So Matt, if you had to handicap that now, do you think the Cougars finish second in the conference, or do you think they end up finishing third or fourth?
I think they end up finishing second.
I'm going to agree with you, man. I'm going to be more optimistic, and I think their tournament resume is looking better and better. If they were to somehow beat the Zags in Provo, I kind of like their tournament resume. Some of those early wins and close losses out of conference, I think, will pay dividends.
And sometimes, if you can do real well coming down the stretch, people will give you the benefit of the doubt on some of those, you know, sketchier losses.
Yeah.
If you can show that as a team you've improved and you're playing at a different level, which I think would clearly be illustrated by beating Gonzaga.
Yes, I totally agree. And so, you know, obviously if they win the conference tournament, they're in, right? You don't have to worry about your resume at that point. And I actually feel better about their chances of doing that now.
I'm gonna hold off on that one until February 20th.
Okay, fair enough. Wimp. But I am much more confident now about their chances of making it as an at-large than I was when we talked a couple weeks ago when both of us were basically saying, no, they're not going to do it. So topic number two on the hoops, Matt, Tyler Hawes might be good at shooting and scoring the basketball. That is just in.
Breaking news, everybody.
Breaking news here on the podcast. So, Matt, he has become a scoring machine. He already was one, but the last couple weeks, it's kind of climbed to a new level. I think it has, anyway. And you look at that and you say, you know, he is a junior. He's got 1 year left. And I used to think the comparisons to Jimmer and the he could be as good as Jimmer stuff was ridiculous, okay? But let's look at his last, what is this, six games. 48 points, 23, 38, 33, 27, 19. So the worst group in that is 19 points in a win, in a game in which the team scored 68 points, okay? Doesn't that sound Jimmer-like? I mean, it's pretty point-total-wise. And like Jimmer, there's not a lot else necessarily in the box score. He does a little bit more rebounding than Jimmer did. Jimmer did a little bit more on the assist end. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. But these are guys that score. That's what they do. Do you think there is a chance, even if it's small, that by the end of his career, people are saying he might be as good as Jimmer? Because remember, Jimmer, till his end of his junior year, I don't think any of us thought he was going to go down as like one of the best Cougars of all time. He was certainly very good. But, of course, he not only did that, but won Player of the Year. Do you think there's any chance, or do you think that's just hyperbole talking about the current guy on the team?
I think there's some chance, but some of the players around him are going to have to pick up their game. And he needs some signature moments, some stronger signature runs, maybe not runs, but tournament performance
The
conference and NCAA level. Yeah. If he really wants to be part of that conversation, and for some of that, the players around him are going to have to do a little bit more than they've been doing to make that happen. I mean, Jimmer had Jackson Emery, you know, and some other things going on around him that Tyler Hawes does not have that helped in that particular aspect as far as the team's performance when they had the national stage, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Tyler Hawes needs if we're really going to get into that piece of the conversation.
Yeah,
like or Jimmer. Take the game over himself, which is what Jimmer did on a couple of those occasions. He just took a game over and shooting lights out and made the story himself.
Yeah,
you know, if Tyler can do that on a couple of these big games, then yeah, I think he gets into that conversation.
All right. Yeah, I think it's possible. I do. I think it's possible. So and beating a big game against the Zags in Provo could go a long way towards that. You know.
Oh, I think that would be a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and if he could be, you know, hit a three or big shot at the end, which he's capable of, as we saw against against Portland, unfortunately, there wasn't a lot of other help in that particular game. But 48 points, that was pretty impressive. So, Matt, we are going to do one of our famous drafts. And this time, we are going to do a pick'em, basically, of the BYU current basketball roster. And I'm going to talk about basically 10 guys. Okay, each of us will get a starting five. Okay.
Okay.
Hawes, Collinsworth, Mika, Austin, Carlino, Halford, Worthington, Winder, Sharp, and Bartley. Basically, the guys that play. I know there are a couple other guys that are technically on the roster, but we're just going to talk about those 10. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to draft right now, and in the end, I will, of course, say the team I drafted is better than your team, which right. will be true.
Okay. Keep telling yourself that.
So I will be magnanimous, as I always am, and allow you the first pick.
I choose Tyler Hawes, and my team's already better than yours.
I choose Kyle Collinsworth.
Excellent choice, which is also what I would have done with the second pick. But because you had to take Kyle Collinsworth at that pick, I'm taking Eric Mika.
Man, this really seems to stink. I should have kept the first pick.
You should have, because think about who you're going to have to take with your next pick.
I pick Matt Carlino.
And of course you do. And of course you do.
And who do you pick now?
Skylar Halford.
Oh, thank goodness, because, man, my team would look really bad if I had no big guy. Like, Collinsworth is going to be playing the five. on my team.
Doesn't that highlight a problem with this team right there? That highlights one of the issues this team suffers from.
This draft actually totally highlights that. So now you're starting, your three are Hawes, Mika, and Halford. Mm-hmm. My three are Collinsworth, Austin, and Carlino.
Yeah.
And now you're up again.
I'm going to take Frank Bartley the fourth.
You have a soft spot for Bartley.
I think he's awesome. I think he's going to be great. I see very bright things in his future. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be good. I take Winder, and I would have picked him over Bartley.
And obviously, I went back and forth on that one because I think Winder would have been kind of the textbook pick in that situation.
Yes, understood. But and then you've got your choice between Worthington and Sharp. Who are you taking?
Does it really matter?
Of course it does.
I'll take Sharp.
This is the pick, and you just messed up. I take Worthington. I win.
That's going to tip the scales. Because I didn't. No offense to Luke Worthington, but at that point, I don't think that really tips the scales out.
I didn't actually tell you what they would be competing in. And it's a lip sync contest.
Oh, well, you win, my
done
friend.
Done and done.
Wow, he drops mic, walks out.
Walks out. Your team would beat my team hands down.
Yes, 10 out of 10 times.
I should have gotten like the next two picks. Should have been like
a snake draft. That would have been much more fair.
So wait a second. If we do a snake draft, though, you get Hawes. I would get Collinsworth and Mika. Then who would you take?
You take Collinsworth and Mika with that pick?
Yeah.
I have to take Carlino.
So you have to go Carlino, and then you get another pick.
Then I take Skylar Halford.
Then I get Austin and Winder.
And then I get Sharp and Bartley. So the difference really is I trade you Mika for Carlino, right?
Yes. And those would be pretty even teams.
Yep.
Because if you've got Collinsworth and Mika, there's nobody that will be able to match up with those two.
That's true. If you have both of them, and this is the group you're picking from, you have a very distinct advantage.
Yeah, yeah. And Collinsworth, I mean, you saw it in the game against San Francisco the other night. I mean, he was on occasions guarding their bigs in the post, and he can do that. I mean, it's not ideal. He's a little undersized. But how many point guards can do that in the country? Not very many.
Right.
And Mika, you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that if one player was going to jump, make the leap, you know, besides Hawes and Collinsworth, right? That he was the guy that we thought had to make the leap. And since we said that, he has looked healthier. His rebound totals since we said that are like 9, 8, 7, 10, and 13. He's been in double-digit scoring for three of those four games, or four of the five, if you want to go back five. He has looked good. And I think now that he's gotten his second wind, we could see a bunch of 20 and 10 games down the stretch. I think it's very possible.
Well, and if this team's really going to make a run at getting in the tournament, I think that's an essential component of that success.
Yes, I totally agree with you. Totally agree. So, Matt, let's leave basketball for a moment and go to football. There was a important day that came and went. Signing day. Now, you and I are not, like, super into recruiting. Let's be honest. We follow it. But we don't live and die by signing day like some fans do. Is that fair? Right. Fair assessment of your position?
That is a fair assessment.
But I'll tell you what, I was more interested in this year, and I don't know why. Part of it, I think, was Fred Warner and seeing whether he would actually sign.
Mm-hmm.
The other is the ridiculousness of the fact that we're talking about the signing day and one of the guys on the list is already enrolled. So I'm pretty sure Kurtz was coming. I mean, everybody knew that. I'm being facetious. But I look at the list of signees, and I look at the top, by most accounts, the top six, right? Warner, Kurtz, Blackman, Nakua, I'm assuming that's how you say it, Isaiah Nakua, Matt Bushman, and Sione Takitaki.
Wow.
Listen, I'm terrible at these names. There's
you just absolute... pronounce, I think on most of these, you just make sure you pronounce all the letters and yes, it should be good.
Thank you. That would be good. You look at this group, Matt, and I kind of like it.
Well, you know, Bronco did say that this may be the greatest recruiting class ever at BYU. And there certainly are a number of reasons in here to smile if you're a Cougars fan looking to the future, and especially given where we've been the past few years.
And we haven't talked about Trey Dye. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about Tiancum Fuga, some other guys mm-hmm. I like. Austin Chambers, right?
Yep.
There are other guys, and Jeterius Gulley, who did not get, the scouts didn't particularly like him, but the coaching staff has been.
They really like him.
They really like him. And so, I mean, the caveat to all this is we've had four-star guys like Warner not work out. And you've had guys like a Jeterius Gulley that's a two-star become a superstar, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. A guy named Hoffman, you might be familiar with.
The name sounds familiar. Rings a bell.
Who was a two-star guy coming out. So, I mean, all of this is going to change. When we go 5 years from now or 6 or 7 years and look back after at this, you may say, wow, Warner was the real deal and Kurtz was, and oh my gosh, they... some of these other guys were better than expected or vice versa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm pretty excited, Matt. So when you look at this list of signees, anybody jump out at you? Besides Warner and Kurtz, we'll take them off the list because I think we've talked about Kurtz and obviously everybody's excited about Warner. You know, watch his YouTube highlight films. It's hard not to get excited. But what about the other group? Anybody else that you go... You know, and I know both of us have watched some YouTube highlights of these guys, at least some of them. Anybody else like jump out at you?
Well, I am really excited about Blackman.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like we've had a lot of conversation about depth at the wide receiver spot and how that's impacted the way that the offense has developed over the past couple of years. And we've had this problem where you have Hoffman and then this huge drop off in talent before you get to anybody behind him.
Yes.
And yes. I think that's really led to some of the troubles of what we've seen. And I believe that Kurtz is the real deal. I think Kurtz will be exactly – he is who we thought he was. You know, I think he will be that guy. And I think Blackman will be the other receiver that's going to open things up offensively for this team. And that is very exciting. You know, when you've got – especially when you have some of the talent lined up now on offense – and the depth at some of these other places, I think we're going to be good at quarterback for a couple of quarterbacks in a row now. So that makes me excited. If they can get the packaging together with the scheming for the offense, I think we're going to have some tools here to do some special things.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the wide receiver position, we talked about being worried about it. You look at Kurtz coming in, you look at Blackman, both high quality guys. And then you look at transfer out of UTEP, Jordan Leslie, 6'3", 210. Now all of a sudden, if you go those three and add potentially a healthy Matthews to that, okay, doesn't that all of a sudden go from us kind of being like, ugh, I don't know about the wide receiver position, to potentially being a strength area?
Yeah.
I mean, it could possibly... And we haven't mentioned Trey Dye. I don't know exactly where they're going to end up playing him. But assuming he's in the mix as well as a freshman, and if you've watched his highlights, which I have on YouTube, the guy is fast.
Yeah, you know, very explosive. I mean,
very quick. He has a dad that might have been kind of quick too. Is it possible that they could be the deepest skill position next year? I mean... that would be quite a turnaround.
It would be a little insane, right? But wouldn't it be awesome? I mean, I feel like right now we've both got our blue glasses on looking at this.
Oh, yes, we do.
But wouldn't that just be awesome if they had some of the, you know, if they were able to fix some of the tools they need? You know, we've got a couple other guys here. I don't know that any of these offensive linemen are going to come in and make an impact right away, but maybe they can add some type of depth, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's another place, you know, if they could put some of these pieces together. But I think having receivers out there like these guys could make a huge impact on how this offense works. It's really exciting when you think about, you know, I think when we went back a little while ago and we started talking about looking forward, you know, when we were coming out of the season, this was, like you said, one of the huge question marks is the receiver core any good?
Yes.
And it looks like they will be.
It has taken a massive step forward, I think. It has taken a massive step forward. So I am very optimistic about this class. I know they didn't end up lighting up the message boards and the recruiting websites, but in the end, that doesn't really matter to me because there's so much error with evaluating high school kids that it's impossible to know if what Bronco is saying is right or what the services are saying, that this is just an okay class. It feels better to me than that.
And the other piece of that is, listen, let's just be honest about who we are here for a minute. We're not going to pull in the same type of recruiting classes. I don't think we'll ever pull in the same type of recruiting classes as the top five, top 10 teams in the country.
No.
It's just never going to happen, right? And I think what has made this program successful is finding those guys that can come in sometimes under the radar and make a big impact.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about you, we can go back a couple, you know, over the past few years and think about some highly touted recruits. Heaps.
Yeah.
Come in and been a disaster.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because they didn't fit with the program. And yep. I think that's, it's all criticism aside, that's something that Mendenhall is good at for the most part, is identifying players like Kyle Van Noy who are tremendously talented and are going to buy into what it is that we do in Provo with that football program.
Yeah.
And allow them to be great inside of that system.
Totally agree with you. We were asked on Twitter about wide receiver depth, Matt, by Justin Whiting. That's at JN Whiting. Safe to say Kurtz is the number one. We believe it's safe to say that. And 2 through 4, we just kind of walked through that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We think Blackman, Leslie, and Matthews, probably Matthews at the top if he's healthy, is number two, right?
I think we'll have to see how it plays out.
But
Leslie's got plenty of experience.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. But not in our system. Not in our system. But yes,
very good. But he's pretty familiar with the coaching.
Yep. Yep. No, he could easily be the number two. But I think Matthews, if healthy, is right there. And by the way, you'll notice we didn't talk about Oppo at all.
No.
So I don't know where he fits in. And again, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It may be an injury that has held him back, and maybe there's a possibility he turns around, but we'll see. So Matt, staying on the football team, last time we talked about the wide receivers, tight ends, and quarterbacks, kind of on our off-season preview. Today we're going to talk about the running backs and the offensive line. So we just talked about depth on the wide receiver position and how even from 2 weeks ago we feel differently because of the signees, right?
Right.
Running back, you know, we talked about this quite a bit during the season. Jamal Williams is a beast. He's awesome.
Yes.
After his injury, he got used a lot less, but was still awesome. And though I like the guys behind him, there is a massive drop after Williams. Hine, Lasike, Brown, all talented players, all very useful players, but if Williams goes down, you do not have a feature back. Am I being too harsh, or do you agree?
Well, I think it depends. I mean, Hine was obviously impacted by an injury still last fall.
Sure.
So I think there's an opportunity for him to turn things around. I also think Brown was young, and experience can go a long way.
Yes, it can.
You know, getting that first year under your belt, going full speed in games at this level. Can go a really long way, and I think he's got a lot of potential as well. So am I ready to hit the panic button next year if Jamal Williams goes down again? First couple weeks of the season, yeah. But I think as we get in and this team hits their stride, I think we could be okay there as long as these guys can stay healthy, namely Hine and Brown.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. I think it's a good group. I don't think it's like a world-beater group, but we've discussed this before. We don't have, because of where we sit on the college football hierarchy, we're not going to have like Alabama, where they've got 5 running backs, all who could start at any school in the country, right?
Right, and some that may go to the NFL with hardly ever playing.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Just silliness, right?
That's not us. To be 3 or 4 deep with very serviceable running backs, I think is what you can hope for. And you hope that one of them, in this case, one of them has in Jamal Williams, will break out to be something more than that.
Well, and also, it is going to be important for the execution of the offense, the way they want to run it. You got to run the ball a lot, and so somebody's going to have to spell Williams and still be able to get yardage and run the same plays.
Yes.
So there is a piece to that.
And I think, quite frankly, we need Hill to run the ball a little less next year to keep him healthy. I'm pretty lucky this year with all the hits he took that he was able to stay as healthy as he did. I mean, because there were a lot of games where he's carrying the ball 20 times, which is crazy. Mm-hmm. So, Matt, the other unit we're going to talk about today is the offensive line. So the last couple of years have not been good for an offensive line. And you see this on Cougar Board and on Twitter, just this lack of understanding of how we cannot have a good offensive line. You know, seems like we ought to be able to go and find a bunch of Idaho farm boys and stick them out there and knock people over, right?
Yeah. It's
not been the case the last few years. So do you fit in either of these two camps? And you can opt out and say neither, but I think a lot of people fill these two camps. These guys, most of them, have proven they're not going to be great offensive linemen, and we got to hope somebody behind them comes up. Or, you know, young group, inexperienced group, they played together, they had some good stretches last year. This is a talented group, and they'll put it together this year. Do you fall in either of those camps?
I don't know if I fall directly in either of those camps, but I'm probably closer to the second camp.
Oh, okay.
When I look at with this offensive line, one of the things that does stick out to me is youth.
Yes.
Right? We got a lot of young guys, and I think that hurts you. I think a second problem here is lack of offensive identity. And when you look at some of the great offensive lines we've had in the past, and I know I always go back to the same group, but the 1996 offensive line, those guys were huge and they were fast. Yes. And right now we've got fast guys and we have big guys. And I think that we want to run the offense that Anai is preaching, we need guys that are both. And maybe some of these younger guys are, and maybe some of these guys that they're out bringing into the program now will better fit that bill. But I think what they've been doing the past couple of years, because they haven't really known what the offense was going to look like, is they're just kind of guessing at what type of offensive line they need or going out and getting whoever they can get. And now if they can establish an offensive identity, I think they've got some of these young guys that should be the right people, some of the right tools. And then the last piece is you got to get these guys playing consistently together. And I know we talk a lot about rotating offensive linemen in and out to keep legs fresh and these kinds of things. And if you're going to do that, it does change the dynamic. But for an offensive line to function effectively, they all need to know what everybody else is doing so that they don't, you know, overlap assignments, and they need to trust each other and know that the other guys on the line can do what it is that they're expected to do, so that what allows an individual to focus on their own assignment. And I don't get the picture that has been the case, at least this past season. So those are the kind of things that they're trying to fight against right now. And so as they get through some of these issues with the youth and getting the right type of offensive lineman in the program, I think we're going to get there. Hopefully these young guys are exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think this line has potential. I'm still a little bit, maybe a little less optimistic than you. I do think that Yek really struggled last year, mm-hmm. Against good pass rushers. And I don't know if he's the guy to protect the blind side or not.
I don't think that he is.
So there may be, by necessity, some shifting that needs to happen at some point. I do think, though, that is a solvable issue, and that hopefully we have some greater depth now that can change some of that. I hope.
We need an offensive line with a mean streak in them, and I don't think that's really what we've had.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So this is it'll be very interesting, I think, to see how this all works out on the offensive line, because quite frankly, it may be the key to a great offensive season or just an okay offensive season. I think with the offense we run and maybe some lack of depth at quarterback and potentially running back, we got to keep people healthy and on their feet, and the offensive line helps to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it'll be interesting to see how that all works out. One of the guys that we didn't talk about on the recruiting side is an offensive lineman who may play in is Tajon Karoma, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mm-hmm. Only a two-star guy, short, 6 feet, 250. so he's not overwhelmingly large. But one of the things I saw mentioned with the recruiting blogs and such was he's a center. And he could potentially come in, and like you said, if we move people around, Fousey or somebody else, you could potentially have a guy that comes in on that center position, and the coaches were very high on him. So Chambers, I think, sounds like he's gone potentially on a mission, so he's probably, as you mentioned, probably not going to end up being part of the rotation next year. Yes, I believe he says he's going to go on a mission before he shows up. So, anyway, Matt, let's break away from that and do what everyone's been waiting for us to do. That's play Answering Machine.
Oh, snap.
Snap. All right, Matt. So, are you ready?
I think I am. I think okay. I am ready.
All right. So, call me, and so that people, I will
explain this poorly. You're so bad at explaining this game.
I will explain this poorly, but it's a tradition now. And tradition is important.
Yes, it is.
You should know that. That's comes from a Russian play called, what's that play called?
Tradition. Spirit, Honor, and Tradition. You're thinking of Fiddler on the Roof.
Yes. That's a Russian.
Wow. We've really gone all the way around the world tonight, haven't we? Yes. We just cited Fiddler on the Roof in the podcast.
That's right, we did.
That's a first.
Tradition! So anyway, I will badly explain this. One of us will call the other. The other will does not know whose answering machine they are calling. They will get a message and then have to leave a message for that person. Oh my god! I think that might be my worst time. And I even like planned it out and thought it out in my head.
I am no longer sure what we're doing. All right, am I calling first?
No, you. I'm calling first.
All right, go ahead.
Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop, beep, boop. Ring, ring. You're supposed to ring it.
Oh, I couldn't remember who rings.
You ring.
Okay. Ring, ring. You've reached the cell phone of Dr. Robert Anai, offensive coordinator for the BYU Cougars. I'm not available to take your call right now because I'm out trying to figure out which of these receivers I'm going to start. So leave a message and I'll probably not call you back. Beep.
Hey, Anai, doctor, buddy, listen, I respect what you've done with the offense and the go fast, go hard thing. I am behind it. Could we slow it down a little? Like, just a little. Like, sometimes let the quarterback take a look at the defense and see what's going on. The other part is, I can't wait to see what this offense does with a bunch of weapons on the outside. Man, I can just see on some of these quarterback draws gaping holes in the middle of the field for Taysom Hill, and that makes me happy. And hopefully some deep touchdown passes to this athletic and tall group of wide receivers. Anyway, you stay being Robert and I hope in spring ball we get to see you being a little feisty with some of the reporters because I quite enjoy that. And you figure out what to do with all these talented wide receivers, dude. Peace out. What do you think?
All right, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You were a lot nicer to Coach and I than we are sometimes during the season.
What are you talking about? I am pro and I. You may be in the anti and I camp. I am pro and I. I like Robert and I.
Yeah, I like touchdowns.
All right, smarty pants. Why don't you dial and see who you're calling?
Boop, 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 boop.
Ring, ring, ring. Hello, you have reached Vladimir Putin, president of Mother Russia. I am out celebrating Sochi Winter Games and enjoying our time in the spotlight. Leave me a message. If I do not like it, you know there will be consequences. Beep.
Hello, Mr. President. Hey, congratulations on the Sochi Games. I mean, everything, you know, the whole construction issues aside, it's still the Olympics, and it is pretty awesome. The venues all look really nice. The athletes seem to be having a good time, and I've been watching more of it than a responsible father of three probably should. That being said, there is a basketball player at BYU that you may be interested in should you ever need to set up a boxing match with Sylvester Stallone. His name's Eric Mika. He looks a lot like boxing great Ivan Drago. And if you don't already have this guy on your radar, you might want to get on that now. Just in the event that we get into some Christmas Day World Championship boxing match that you've got to set up. I mean, this guy really looks the part. You know, just have him talk very little. I mean, which is pretty much what Ivan Drago did anyway. Anyway, yeah, so good job on the Olympics. Overall, it's cool. If you need help getting in touch with Eric Mika in any way, I probably can't help you. All right, well, have a good one.
I will crush you.
You know, I should have left that whole message in Russian. That would have really thrown you off.
You should have. I was actually expecting you to break out some Russian. Because you are the person that has told me that the guy in Rocky does not actually translate Rocky's speech.
No, he does pieces of it. He does it in pieces.
Yeah, but not like the whole speech.
No. If I were translating it, I'd do it differently. But they're worried about time.
Of course they are. It's a movie. And you also, I believe it was Clear and Present Danger, where you pointed out to me, wasn't it Clear and Present Danger?
I don't know what you're about to say, so I'm not sure.
They were in Ukraine, and they had them the soldiers speaking Ukrainian, but you told me that soldiers there...
None of them ever spoke Ukrainian to me. They all yelled at me in Russian.
They only yelled at you in Russian. So, but anyway, I thought I'd get you a little surprise attack on the Vladimir Putin.
Hey, you know, I never saw that one coming. Never saw it coming. That was great.
But I did not see coming you trying to sell him on bringing Eric Mika in as the next Ivan Drago. So.
Hey, where am I supposed to go with that?
I mean, I don't know.
It's a pretty clear tie-in, if you ask me.
I didn't know where you would go with that one. So, what kind of podcast is this? I mean, we start out talking about Skeleton and we end with Vladimir Putin. This is the Rise and Shout podcast, Matt.
One for the ages.
So we will be back after next week after BYU's had another game against St. Mary's. So hopefully we have something fun to talk about with that. Also, we'll be getting pretty close to spring ball and, Matt, pitchers and catchers.
Oh, yes. We'll
be throwing a little ball around in Florida and Arizona.
Oh, I cannot wait.
I am beyond excited for baseball to start. I have missed baseball. And I can't wait to be sitting almost every night on my deck here in Minnesota with my MLB package watching various baseball games.
See, this is when things get silly, right? Because I live in a town with a bad baseball team and very cheap tickets.
Yes.
This is where craziness happens.
Yes. Well, I am also in a bad baseball town. Not a bad baseball town. It's actually a great baseball town, but bad team right now. And also cheap tickets. We've actually been thinking of splitting with another couple a season ticket package, one of those small ones.
Mm-hmm.
And we might do that because Target Field is a beautiful place to see a game. How is the Houston? I've never been to that stadium.
Oh, Minute Maid's nice. We actually had our work Christmas party there.
Of course.
But, it is a nice facility. And with the heat, you know, they can open and close the roof. You go on Friday nights, they open it up and they do fireworks. And, yeah. So it's not too hot in there. You can go to a day game and take the kids, you know, and they serve Bluebell ice cream in there. Do you need anything else?
Bluebell ice cream and a live baseball game. I can't imagine. If you need something else, you need to check your priorities.
Yeah. There's something wrong with you. Right?
There is something wrong with you.
No, it is a good place to see a game. It's pretty easy to get in and out. I just wish the team were better, and I wish they could work out the TV deal so I could, you know, watch the games on regular TV. But it really won't matter, right? Because I'll be watching.
You'll be watching the Nats.
I'll be getting in. I'll just have every game on the planet. But you still get blocked. You still get blacked out with that.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Whatever. All right, man. Well, it's been a pleasure. We'll be back next week, and hopefully. We'll be talking about another couple of BYU basketball victories and getting excited about the springtime, man. It's supposed to be a high of 1 tomorrow here in Minnesota, so I could use a little springtime.
It's going to be 70 degrees here by the end of the week.
Yeah, I'd like to punch you in the face. I don't know why. That seems like an overreaction.
That escalated quickly.
That escalated quickly. On that
you might note, you might want to lay low for a while.
On that note, thanks everybody for listening and downloading. Check out, if you didn't follow the recruiting closely, there's some great summary stuff at LoyalCougars.com. Also, of course, excellent basketball coverage and the weekly power rankings where we rank the entire roster, top to bottom. So definitely check that out at LoyalCougars.com. Thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!